Welcome to Highly Questionable. Dan is not ready for the show, so I figured I would handle the intro. Sarah Spain, what are you looking forward to in the show today?
I want to talk about this unknown new NBA player, James Harden. I guess no one's talking about him.
Dan, why don't you look that up on your phone?
Yeah, my bad.
How did you feel watching Philip Rivers last night?
Were you made sad by this, by the ending? His face is in the ground. He's thrown 7 interceptions the last 2 weeks, and it feels like this is the end. This is how quarterbacks age before Tom Brady and Drew Brees, and it's a rather precipitous fall when you consider I really thought his team was good enough to win the Super Bowl last year. He was one of the reasons, and now he's the reason they lose. That team is very good, but he's declined.
How did I feel? I felt like deja vu over and over and over again. This is the 7th time this season that the Chargers have lost by 7 points or fewer. This is the 61st time in his career that Philip Rivers has lost by 7 points or fewer. He is always charging down the field with seconds to play and one score to win it. And unfortunately, lately, the result has been a bad pick, like the one he threw to an undersized guy on a jump ball in the end zone to end this game. It made me sad. I don't know if I'm going to go as far as Dan, though. I don't know if this is a precipitous decline that can't be recovered from. He may have another couple good years in him, but right now, the mental errors are killing him.
If you follow me on Instagram, you know exactly how I feel about Philip Rivers last night. I hate to talk about my fantasy team, so I won't, but he is my fantasy quarterback, which just says something about the types of fantasies that I have. It was awful to watch. It was embarrassing. In the final 2 minutes, when trailing by 7, Philip Rivers' completion percentage is 29%, and his touchdown to INT ratio is 0-4. It's tough to watch. We make jokes about there not being any Chargers fans, and after watching last night with a vested interest, I think I know why.
Hey, Katie, who else is on your fantasy team?
You don't want
to. No one cares.
I know.
How much is Tom Brady to blame for the struggles of the Patriots offense?
Okay, I feel like this question is directed at the woman there who's making faces because she's a Patriots fan. But he went on the Greg Hill show on WEEI, and he expressed his frustration with the idea that he hasn't had a touchdown pass in 3 games, and their offense looks entirely too constipated. But when you consider that they can't throw the ball downfield, and they were supposed to have Antonio Brown and Josh Gordon and Rob Gronkowski, and they no longer do, at some point the aging process combined with a lack of receivers is going to look like the last 3 weeks had.
Yeah, Tom having nobody to throw to is a song we've all been singing as Patriots fans for a while, and so it sort of falls on deaf ears. Clearly, watching him against the Eagles was not fun this weekend, and he's missing targets. He's holding on to the ball for a little bit too long. Whatever. Point is, I think the bigger story is that the Patriots team now is all about balance, you know, yin and yang. For a while, Brady carried the team. Now he can regress, and luckily the defense is good enough to help him out on the other side of the ball. Like, Julian Edelman missed a touchdown catch, but then he made up for it by throwing a touchdown. It's balance. That's how it works. Let's also not forget the Patriots are 9-1. And the topic is about their offensive struggles. That's like, true. When you're that good for that long, if you're just not perfect for a second, we're going to talk about if you're to blame. But they're 9-1, so chill out, everybody.
Well, the fact that they're 9-1 is what makes Tom Brady going on the radio and whining so much about how disappointed they are so noteworthy. Because, yes, absolutely, they're still a great team. And, yeah, defense is helping out the offense in ways that maybe they didn't need to before. But all eyes are still on whether Tom Brady and this offense can contend against really good teams in the playoffs, like the Ravens, right? We saw him in the last 7 games throw 7 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. He had a 55% completion rate against the Eagles. Tom is regressing in some ways, and it certainly feels like the people in Boston are talking about the ways in which the offense is potentially being simplified a little bit so he becomes more of a game manager, how he isn't working with some of the younger receivers and some of the guys on the team that he gets frustrated with. Those things don't seem like a big deal now when you're playing the Dolphins and the Bills, but they might seem like a big deal when that balance includes having to be good enough on offense to contend with the likes of Lamar Jackson and the Ravens.
Look, I think it's difficult when you go from being the star of the offense, the guy that everybody can depend on, to having to kind of change the way you play to just become effective as opposed to flashy. Like, how do you think Dan feels coming back onto this show after so much time off and realizing that, like, he's just a supporting
character
now? I'm sitting here
patiently sitting it out as you guys all out-gasbag me on my own show. Yeah. And then the end, the dismount is, bang, we got him. I'm surprised it wasn't a fat joke.
Can we get him a tissue?
Yeah, he's crying. We saw enough crying at the wedding, Dan. I mean, before she had even come down the aisle.
I was. I admit it. You guys are going to come out on television.
It was so cute. I got choked up. It was so cute.
It was great. What's the matter with you two?
I thought it was cute. Just next time, practice your cry so it doesn't, like, women, we practice our cries so we don't ugly cry at our wedding. Yeah. But as soon as she came out in that dress, you were like,
I know. I
think that was also sweat, too. It was sweat.
Oh, yeah,
it was
definitely
like mixed with
a little
the tears.
Sweat. Yeah,
it was
yeah.
That's true. That's true. Thanks for coming, ladies.
Is Russell Westbrook right that we normalize James Harden's greatness?
Russell Westbrook has really turned into a hell of a teammate at the start of this career with Houston, because he's getting out of the way as much as he can for James Harden, and he'll defend him at every turn. Listen to this.
Amazing. I think that a lot of people like to normalize greatness when you see it over and over again, but it's not normal because there's nobody else that can do it. If it was normal, everybody would do it. He's put himself in position to be able to be one of the best offensive scorers of all time.
James Harden is getting into Wilt Chamberlain conversations, and it's efficient, and it's amazing to watch. It doesn't have a whole lot of precedent, and we hate it. We hate watching it. It is not aesthetically pleasing, and that's what's hurting him. It's not that we don't realize that it's excellent. We don't realize that one-footed jumpers in the corners and that nobody can stop him isn't excellent. It's because we don't like watching that play, no matter how much it wins, no matter how much it scores.
Yeah, first of all, get you a teammate like Russ Westbrook. Putting up triple-doubles and being your hype man after games, like, he's killing it so far as fitting in Houston. As for Harden, Dan's completely right. The reason that this becomes normalized or maybe doesn't get talked about as much is all of the stories around it. It's that he's doing it because guys are injured. It's that he's doing it inefficiently, although that's certainly not the argument so far this year. It's that he's doing it in a way that we don't like to watch. He's doing it by maybe cheating. He's doing it by changing the rules of the game that we have all agreed upon. None of those are inherently bad things. It's just by talking about all of that, instead of talking about how great he is and what he's doing, we get distracted from actually acknowledging that it is hard to do and that it is amazing to lead a team to 11-3 record when everyone knows what you're doing. Everyone knows who's going to get the ball and who's going to shoot it and who's going to star, and they still can't stop it.
Yeah, let me just start by saying great points by both Sarah and Dan, who are incredible teammates that I don't think you guys are appreciating enough.
Thank you.
But as far as Harden goes, yeah, I think you guys hit the nail on the head. His efficiency is what makes him great. And the thing about efficiency is, like, it's not that interesting to watch when it's good. He's also finding loopholes the way he plays. Like Dan said, people don't like to watch it. I see James Harden as like that movie that comes on a Saturday that you'll watch all the time, but nobody really liked it when it first came out. He's like the out cold of the NBA. He's like the grandma's boy of the NBA. I appreciate it. I enjoy it. Some people say it's not their cup of tea, but it's still greatness, and you'll watch it every time it's on.
He's like the holiday of Christmas movies.
Ooh,
underrated.
Good one, Sarah.
Watch it every time.
Are you guys hearing these points Sarah's making? They're really good. She's fantastic.
Thank you, Katie. Well, I was inspired by your excellent point about movies that weren't that great originally, but you watch them every time. It was very smart of you.
Oh, thanks. It felt really sportsy of me.
I have no idea what those movies you mentioned were. I've never heard of
You've
them.
You've never seen Out Cold? Oh, it's
Out
good.
Out Cold is...
Sarah, you would cold. Like Grandma's Boy.
Really? Which one?
Yeah.
Who is that? Kevin Hart? What is that?
It's like, no, it's Nick Swardson and then like that we never saw again.
I met Nick Swardson once. He was very nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
What's your favorite Stallone movie? You guys got any of those that you like? You know, something from the Rambo collection? No?
I've never seen a Stallone movie.
Something from
really?
The
Not
Rambo
a single
collection?
One.
Are you kidding
I've
me?
Never seen Rocky. I've never seen Rambo. Is he in Predator? I've never seen Predator.
You're not kidding.
How out of bounds was Garnet Hathaway for spitting in an opponent's face last night?
What kind of question is that? Okay, so we can all agree by consensus that it's out of bounds, but let's measure the degrees of how out of bounds it is to spit in some dude's face. Now, Roberto Alomar did this a long time ago to an umpire. Bill Romanowski did it to a referee. What do we have here? Just the most disrespectful thing that you can do.
And Gabrant's in control with the best of them at 6'5", 225.
Oh, man, that wasn't a small amount of saliva either, too. He flung at that Tom Selleck guy over there. Good God, that's unpleasant. How out of bounds is it? Yeah, don't do that. Don't ever do that. Don't do that to another human being, an animal. Don't do it.
Yeah, to quote me quoting Billy Madison outside of a bar in Southie in 2009 when a man spit on me, that's assault, brother. You can't do that. In the NBA, in the NFL, when you want to show that you're mad at somebody, you punch them, you throw a punch. In the NHL, you can do that already. And so if you really want to go low, you've got to go low. He meant that to be disrespectful, and it was. But let's not overlook the fact that it gave us one of the best excuse quotes ever, which was, unfortunately, spit came out of my mouth.
Why am I not surprised that Katie has a story about fighting people in Southie? That is
I got spit on.
Also, Garnet Hathaway is not a name. It's an auction house in the Hamptons where you bid on art. Like, what the heck kind of name is that? Yeah, I mean, the point is, like, somehow we're at a point where it's more disrespectful for some dribble loogie to get on you than to get punched in the face, which I think probably dates back to, like, an era where if you got spit on, you would get the plague or something, right? It was, like, a great way to transfer infectious diseases. And now it's just a carryover where we think it's the worst thing you could possibly do. Honestly, I would rather get spit on than punched in the face. That's
okay,
just
hold
me.
On a second. If I may, hold on. If I may, just can you guys slow this down on the video so that Sarah can again see the size of that softball of saliva that came out of that dude's mouth? Because it's one thing for it to be just some sprinkler spray, but if we could slow this down for a second, you tell me that this is an amount of spit that you would want. It comes out in a parabola because of the sheer weight of the amount of water coming out of his mouth. Come on.
I'm more focused on the slow motion of getting punched in the face, which still seems worse to me than a loogie.
I need to see the wipe off, because as a person who's been in social interactions and had someone spit and it lands on my face, like, while they're talking, and I'm, like, afraid to wipe it off because I don't want to offend them, I just need to see how he got that off of his face.
Coming up next on my Soul Stevie show.
Here, number 40 is who we're keeping an eye on.
The ball. O'Kelly. Oh. He's got it. O'Kelly's down there looking for a block.
Taking it to the house.
Trailing the play. Oh, number 64. Come on, Whitlock.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by USAA, proud supporter of the military community. What you're made of, we're made for.
Time to play the game that wishes Mina was here instead of Dan. Do you question?
Oh, man, that's such a bad spot to put me in, because everybody wishes that. You give us topics and events, we question them.
Do you question if this defender should be mad at himself or his teammate?
Okay, let's check out the Colgate part of this equation. Auburn is very good this year. You got Doughty coming down here with the ball, and he does this to that guy. Yes, and then steps back, and he feels it before it goes in. How good did that feel? He must have been feeling pretty good when you do that.
Oh, tripped.
Yeah, that's not the teammate's fault. That's the crossover's fault.
No, look at this leg. Stepped right into his back.
You can tell by the way he lifts up his foot. He knew that was his fault. He gets it. I think they should just both be grateful that nobody got hurt, because we don't pay those poor kids. And had they gotten hurt, oh, they never might have made any money. Whee!
I'm told there was another crossover last night worth mentioning. Let's see what we have here.
Oh, no. Ooh. He is a spectator.
How did he end up over there?
Ooh.
No, wait a minute. That's not a crossover. That's a guy who ran down the court without breaks.
Do you question if number 40 deserves credit for this touchdown?
Okay, can you guys help me out here? I heard you guys talking about what this college is. I have not heard of UTPB. What is this?
Permian Basin. University is something Permian Basin, like from Friday Night Lights.
Texas?
Okay, yeah. Texas. Let's see what we have here. Number 40 is who we're keeping an eye on.
The ball. O'Kelly. Oh. He's got it. O'Kelly's down there looking for a ball.
Taking it to the house.
Trailing the play. Oh, number 64. Come on, Whitlock. Get on a horse and chase him down.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to cry.
Good teammates.
What a play. What
That was the nicest thing ever. I'm seriously tearing up.
Loses the handle, Barry.
All right, but I want you guys to watch again. I want you guys, if you would, I want you guys to watch this offensive lineman here, and he runs like Jason Whitlock. I'm telling you, number 64 is not catching anybody.
Go score.
This is a senior who's never scored a touchdown, and his teammate knew that. That is the nicest thing ever.
Hold on, though. We got to give credit to somebody else here because we're in the credit-giving business. What happened with the quarterback? Look at the quarterback, how he helped out here. Oh, yeah, there's that. Wait a minute. I hadn't even noticed that the first time. Hold on. This is the most horrific beginning of a play in the history of quarterbacking. Go back there a second and put a spotlight on what happened with that quarterback because I'm pretty sure he got his throwing arm tangled with his neck.
Oh, my God. Time to play the game that wishes Dan would get married every weekend. See? Or no?
I'd have to work a lot more and make a lot more to afford things like that every weekend. You tell us what's on television tonight. We'll tell you if we're intrigued.
Tonight at 8 p.m., Blazers and Pelicans.
The Trailblazers were supposed to be good. They have not been good this season. Hassan Whiteside was added, and they still lose games when Damian Lillard is scoring 60. But tonight, Carmelo Anthony, wearing 00, makes his return, and he had some things to say before doing so.
All of this started on a Wednesday. I got the call Wednesday, thought about it. Then Thursday, that Thursday was a commitment, right? It was, okay, I'm ready to do this. You guys, you know, really want to make this happen. I'm open. Let's really get serious about this. Let's make something happen, which led to the next day, which was a Friday, which they wanted me to come and get right into it. Let me just get 3-4 days of just like getting back into it mentally and emotionally. I had, you know, almost detached myself from the game a little bit just to give myself some sanity and not think about it.
What happened before is the past. I can't dwell on that. I learned from that. This happened at a point in time in my life where I do have a lot of clarity and understanding of different situations and just life, and, you know, my approach is totally different.
Mellow Monday, Sarah. Are you intrigued?
I don't have any cards, so no. 00 is actually the number of melodramatic movies that I need about somebody returning to a team without a guaranteed contract that may not even last past a couple weeks.
How about you, Katie? Are you intrigued?
I'm very intrigued. Necessarily just about Mello, but about the fact that, Sarah, you gave me a lot of heat for having my own hand-drawn cards, and then today you don't even have any, so one could say that at least I put in the effort. It's purple.
Sarah, it was awkward. We've got cards here, no matter how cheap they might
thumbs
be, even
down.
Though the budget hasn't improved in 8 years, and you're over there with thumbs down.
This morning on Twitter, a promo for Gronk Beach Big Game Weekend.
Gronk was saying he had a big announcement to make. Patriots fans got hopeful because their quarterback seems to be the last 3 weeks on decline. Let's check in with Gronk here. What was the big announcement?
Yo, Gronk, what's up, my man? I've been working on the most genius game plan ever. My ship. Forget about that ship. I'm talking about the ship. Did I hear ship?
Oh,
did someone say championship?
This again.
No. We are not talking about SBLIV. We are talking about getting LIT. That's right.
Oh, my God.
Drink up.
Oh, my God.
Sippy, sip, sip. Bro, you have so much left in the tank. We need you back on the field this season, fighting for another ring. We're going to be world champs again, but this time of party. It's going to be the biggest rager Miami has ever seen.
Time out.
This is a bad game plan, bro. You're still in the prime of your partying career. Listen, this isn't just some club event. This is a festival centered around you. Okay. Maybe we call an audible, but just for this year.
Okay, that's the future of Gronk. Sarah, are you intrigued?
All the thumbs up on this one. You know I will be there getting litty lit lit, doing sippy sip sip with Gronk.
Katie, are you intrigued?
No, I'm not intrigued. What? I thought it was rude. Why would you do that to us, Robert?
Terrible. how quickly you turn against your own, like he did nothing for you.
He
like
just he turned against me. That was an affront.
Rings.
That was an affront what he did there. He's toying with my emotions, and I won't stand for that.
Did you not get an invite?
I didn't. I keep refreshing my inbox. I think it went to my spam folder.
Maybe I'll take you as my plus one.
Could you please? Thank you so much.
We're out of time. Thank you for watching. Sarah, what do you want to plug?
That's What She Said with Sarah Spain. New episodes every Tuesday.
How about you, Katie? What you got?
Always Late is Thursday nights at 12:30 a.m. on ESPN2. And listen to Mina's podcast, The Daily, ESPN Daily. I just want Mina to be my friend.
What a suck up. I mean, you're plugging her. She's not even here.
You call it a suck up. I call it a supportive friend. But you're probably right.